It's that time of year again. Calendar chaos, Christmas is creeping up, and suddenly everyone is asking us, so what's coming next? And in the ISO world, next isn't just about new documents, it's about evolution. Because whether you're ready or not, 2026 is bringing some shifts in standards, some new expectations around culture, tech tools, and that are going to be changing our lives and how we audit. So today, we're going to break that down. No crystal balls required. Welcome to Lead the Standard. Hi, you're listening to Lead the Standard, the podcast where we unpack what it really means to lead ISO systems and audits without taking ourselves too seriously. Hi everyone, I am Kelly Taylor and I'm joined by my incredible co-host who now I can refer to as a published best-selling author. Hi, Jackie.
Hello. That you can. That seems like you're talking about someone else.
Isn't it? It's 6:30. My coffee is in the post with its little gold sticker. I can't wait to get it and throw it on the bookshelf behind me. So, are you ready to deep dive into all things ISO and help us wrap up this year?
I am. I think we've got one more this year, though, haven't we? So it'll be a nearly wrap-up.
Nearly wrap-up. That's all right. He was letting us give some space here. That's fine. The year is winding down, though, and we know what's coming. Last-minute projects, inbox overloads. Suddenly everyone else's urgency is becoming our emergency, which leads everybody into those two familiar questions. Where on earth has this year gone? That's what I would like to know the answer to, and if we can find that today, it'd be great. But also, what do we need to do to get ready for next year? And when it comes to ISO, 2026 has a lot of changes on the horizon for us. So in this episode, we'll hopefully be able to answer at least the latter question, maybe the former as well, as we talk through the shifting key standards like ISO 9001, 14001 and 19011, and how technology is going to be reshaping our systems within those, and why people and culture are really fast becoming non-negotiables in quality leadership. That's something that I'm keen to see getting embedded a little bit more. So, Jackie, you've always keeping a close eye on the standards and what's evolving. What moment did you have the where on earth has this year gone moment that inspired this episode's topic?
Well, it's the last two topics I've had the same thing, and obviously we'll record the next one next week or the week after, I don't know. Just whenever the last one's being recorded this year, and it was both the same. I'm sitting here at my desk thinking, what do people want to actually read at this time of year? And it's quite interesting because I wrote this one a few weeks ago and I'm looking forward. So this is about, well, what's next year? But the one I've just finished writing, which you and I will record next week or the week after, not the week after because it'll be Christmas, won't it? I don't know. So this one I look forward, the next one I promise you it's more of a reflection because I started feeling a little bit panicky and thinking, hold on, like we just don't want to look forward and think, oh, we just lost everything. We do want to reflect as well, but I think they work well together. So this week we're talking about, well, what's coming up, okay? It's more about, well, as you know, I've been overwhelmed with my tasks for this month. I still am. I was here at 6:30 this morning trying to get on top of things because everyone wants a piece of you. So I apologize in advance if I'm tired and cranky. If that's come through in any way, shape and form. The inspiration is about, well, what are the three main things? Because, you know, it's a good number. Let's keep it simple. Three main things that we need to keep an eye out for and stay informed about as we move forward. Okay, so those three things I'm happy to break down with you. I'm sure you've got your 2 cents worth.
I have, I might even increase that to 3 cents this week. Because
okay, you're not cheap.
Why not? Let's run with it.
Okay, so there are three. There's the anticipated updates across ISO standards. There's the growing role of technology. And then, as you mentioned, lastly, the stronger focus on people and culture. Because no matter where the conversation starts, I feel it always ends up on people and culture these days. So that's why we're leaving it till the end, right? So the first area or main change that I thought that we needed to keep an eye out for and stay up to date with is, of course, that time has come yet again that the standards are changing. Well, three of the ones I work with, there's 9001 quality, 14,001 environmental management systems, and 19,011. And that's, of course, the ISO standard that have the guidelines for auditing management systems. Now, we do have the draft issued DIS for 9,001. We do for 19,011 as well. Let's not even talk about 14,001 and what happened there.
We've done a couple of episodes on that and we'll leave it there.
Yeah, let's please not go there. But we don't actually have the final draft on that yet. But from what we understand, say with quality, from what I understand, there are changes, but they're minimal changes. So, of course, there'll be updates around, you know, technology or, you know, more electronic or digital documentation and records. Of course, sustainability culture is actually going to pop up in leadership as well. So that last topic that we'll talk about is around people and culture, and it's really nice. It's probably my favorite change that I'm going to hang on to that one for the next however long I'm here for. Before retirement. But that's a huge thing, the culture. And I love how it's come into the leadership clause of 9001. But the changes aren't huge. So we're guessing, and I hate saying we're guessing because we really don't know what, I suppose, what you will need to do as people out there with a competency in that. It sort of is looking like maybe just a bit of a bridging upgrade, not a whole new course. But we'll have to clarify that when it gets closer. And I'll say when it gets closer, the expected publish date for 9001 is September 2026. All right, so
spend a little bit of time with that one.
Yeah, famous last words, considering we just said, how did we get to December in this year?
Yeah, and look, history has said that it's not uncommon for a release to just suddenly pop up. We had that with the 2015 release.
True.
One of them caught us very off guard. So we are monitoring it on a weekly, if not daily, basis so that we're at least on top of it and can communicate that. But who knows what's happening in this world? Things might happen rapidly. Things might slow down.
Yeah. But at the moment, and this is why I keep saying this is at the moment, currently, this is the status for 9001. And then, of course, we've got 14,001. That's the messy one. In a recent Quality Progress magazine, I thought I had it on my desk, but it's not here. It's disappeared. In a recent Quality Progress magazine I was reading, that's released by ASQ, American Society for Quality, they mentioned these standard changes as well. And 14,001, they're saying, is expected early next year. So it's up to you what your interpretation of early next year is. Mm-hmm. In my brain, I'm saying first quarter. That's sort of how I think. But the tricky thing is with this, we actually don't have a DIS released yet.
No.
which is a bit weird. We've got the DIS release for 9001, but it's not being published till September. We don't have the DIS for 14001, and they're saying they're expecting it to be published early next year. So it's all sort of back to front.
Sorry to cut you off there, Jackie. I think it's important for us to acknowledge at this point in time that there was a draft amendment released previously, which we have, as I said, done a few episodes of. That draft amendment has now been withdrawn.
It's amendment and replaced. Amendment 2.
Yes, so draft amendment 2 has now been withdrawn. It was not approved and published, and they are going in with that revision mindset now. So this is why we are ready to go at our end and monitoring this. But, yeah, it's still so up in the air. I don't think early is January. I hope early is not January.
Yes.
I'm very much hoping you're right and we're kind of leaning towards the end of quarter one.
Yes, but we'd want a DIS released earlier. Absolutely. In 2026.
Late 2025 would be great.
Well, that's right, because it doesn't give much lead time. But I guess the DIS, the draft, will be along the lines of what Amendment 2 was about, which was sort of expanding on Amendment 1, which was around the climate change, the sustainability, social responsibility, that sort of thing. So obviously, you know, I've listed these to keep an eye out, right? So once we have the DIS released, we'll know a bit more, but that's sort of what ASQ is saying at this point in time, expected early next year. And then we have ISO 19011, so that's your guidelines for auditing management systems. So anyone with your audit team member or team leader competency will want to stay abreast of this one. So the main, and we do have the DIS for this, I actually quite enjoy it, to be honest. It was really nice to pull it together because it's the refinements or the updates are purely around really strengthening remote auditing within this standard. So there's another standard, is it 17,012, ISO 17,012, I think it is, that we used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll double check while we're on.
And that is a particular or specific standard on remote auditing. So that's a normative reference used in ISO 19,011 just to really enhance how we should plan, prepare, conduct, and, you know, finalise our audits, not only on site, the traditional way, but remotely. What does that look like, including information security, et cetera? So I think actually it's a really great addition, and I love, love, love our updated course sitting there ready to go for this, because I think anyone doing it is really going to get a lot out of it, particularly with the enhancements regarding remote auditing, because, you know, conducting your audit remotely or part thereof is really just embedded in how we conduct our audits these days, so it's definitely timely.
And I think again, so we've already launched on our website. We have a registration of interest for anyone who has those existing qualifications and wants to just do that bridging course when it's available. But just because these changes are coming, don't be discouraged from upgrading your qualification, skills, experience now, because organisations don't have to make that change immediately either. They do have a transition period. There's going to be a while people are still working to the old standards. And as I said, the way that we've got our courses built, anybody who wants to enhance their skills to these new requirements, we've got those bridging courses that will highlight and address those gaps. So we're fully aware that that's coming, but we also don't want people to pause their personal development at the same way as well. So we'll be fully transparent how we as much as we can with the information available to us and sharing that. But please don't let these changes prevent you from implementing your system now or upgrading your qualification, because the old ones will still apply. These are just refinements and further improvements. And I think from what I've seen, as you just mentioned there, Jackie, particularly with 19,011, a lot of the skills or systems or processes that are included in these refinements and new clauses, most businesses are probably already doing anyway. I think they're like the standards are starting to catch up to modern business rather than setting new requirements or new expectations. So I think people shouldn't be deterred by impending change. Would that be fair?
And it normally is the case. You know, if we put that the standards are changing aside, there's really, people are sort of a bit hesitant to move forward because they think they've got to do all this extra stuff. But in reality, if they get a decent person in to do a gap analysis, they'll probably find that they're doing a large majority of it anyway, and it's just a few tweaks here and there. That's normally the case if you're an existing business that's been around for a while. So,
don't change scare you.
No. Well, in our industry, you should be excited by change, because if change scares you, you need to find something else.
There's a little bit of it that goes on.
So that's the first area, I thought, and probably one of the most important that you all need to keep an eye out for. Of course, we'll keep giving you updates as they come out. And, as Kelly mentioned, we've already talked about 14,001 a bit in past newsletters and blogs and podcasts. But now that amendment that we would have been talking about has been cancelled, has been removed. So this is how things change. So it's just a matter of keeping up with what's going on. Set yourself up a subscription so you get updates on these standards. Set yourself a task to look every couple of weeks, especially around this time when things do tend to change. And just, keep abreast of what's going on out there. And look, we've only mentioned these three standards. Once these three settle down, 45,001 OH&S will be next, no doubt. 22,000's
on there as well. There's a couple that are coming up for revision and review. Doesn't mean that they will, but chances are with these core changes being applied, particularly the quality, that'll flow on.
True. So one, keep up to date with what the ISO standards are doing. Once they change, remember you can relax for about 7, 8, 9 years. And then it starts all over again. So number two area to keep an eye on is the growing role of technology. And it sort of reminds me, I don't know when we did the podcast, it was in the last couple, two or three recordings where we talked about how AI is embedded, even if we don't audit ISO 42001, which is the AI management system. Like for me, if I'm auditing quality, environment and OH&S, I'm going to come across AI in the systems that they use. So it's embedded and integrated into anything that I'm reviewing. So as soon as I saw that and was reminded of what I was talking about, I remembered that particular podcast and article. So maybe we can put a link or something in the show notes, because that's a good, additional reading. But this is a challenge for us, particularly us old folk.
No, us not so old folk have challenges in this space now as well. So, saying that anyone here is older than anyone else, but this is a challenge in general. I'm hearing this from a lot of people of all ages.
Yeah, and you talked about being scared or fearful about implementing systems. Well, this is the other one that it's like, okay, how can I keep up with this? Like just before we came on and hit record, I was reading you an email about, an AI platform being integrated with one of the platforms that we use for project management. And it was like,
which already has AI embedded in it.
And we were going, is that a good thing or a bad thing or a messy thing? And, you know, it's just, it's like, oh, do I need to keep up with this? I'm ashamed to say a few weeks ago, someone was trying to show me, it was Replit. I don't know if you've heard of Replit. You can build, oh, it's amazing. Base 44 is a similar thing. You can build apps and platforms and everything in Replit. And someone was showing me what they built in Replit, and they were sort of encouraging me to, well, you could build like, you know, an LMS, like, you know, a course. And I'm thinking, oh, I said, to be honest, I don't really feel like learning something new. I'd rather just learn, just use something that's already built. And then I thought about what I said and I thought, man, does that make me really old for saying that?
No, I might be jumping ahead here, but I think this is really important to highlight. And we just talked about don't be afraid of change. And I think the in this space, technology is changing so rapidly that I don't think you're old for thinking that. I don't think you're scared for thinking that. I think you're exhausted by the amount of technological change and the rapid pace. I don't know if anyone else saw it this morning, and this will give you an idea of the date that we recorded this particular episode. But this morning I opened up my computer to a few things. Happy third birthday, ChatGPT.
Oh, 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. How rapidly has that evolved?
Yeah.
And yeah, to me, it was at that moment of, hang on a second, that's only been 3 years and there is so much change that's happened in there. I had the conversation with a couple of our customer service team members last week, and we're going to catch up again tomorrow to talk through it about the rapid amount of change that they're having to adapt to that's taking them away from their core roles and responsibilities. So how can we slow down the technological change, that impact of that, for our team, so that they're not feeling that fatigue or that overwhelm or that, oh, I don't want to learn another thing. So this is something that we all really need to be excited by and aware of, but also acknowledge that it is changing so quickly that a lot of us are kind of trying to keep up, but keeping up isn't necessarily always the right thing for you and your business. So kind of picking and choosing what's relevant to your team, your department, or what works, rather than just trying to keep up with that technology.
And it takes time, Kelly.
It does.
And this is,
it
really, yeah, this was my thoughts on what I was being shown. Like I said, I'm blown away by this, but I'm at a stage where I don't need to be building things anymore. People have already built this stuff. I just want to use what they've already built. And learning and understanding that is enough. I don't want to have to build it to start with. That's not my job.
No.
I have so many other things to share. So we can get taken down these rabbit holes of distraction. My husband actually said the same thing when I was sharing it with him. He said, Jackie, you're not at the stage where you should be building this stuff. Other people should be building it and you using it. It's not your job anymore. But you sort of feel like you've got a bit of a closed mindset by not understanding at least what it is.
So I think that's a core word there. You don't need to do it, build it, but it helps absolutely to have some sort of understanding. And I note here that you we've got in that run sheet the importance of this isn't to replace professionals. It's to support. We still need that human thing. So having that understanding of the general premise and what it does, but not how to build, create, implement. You don't need to know that stuff to audit it or to work within it. I think that's really important. And I think we are all, I had this conversation with my son over the weekend. I had it with one of our team members at our Christmas party over the weekend, one of those ones born in the early 2000s. Not many of them. But they're sort of feeling the same. So this is no longer a generational thing. Everybody is getting that technology change fatigue and that expectation of, as you said, knowing how it, all things about it. You don't set that expectation of yourself. As long as you know how or have an understanding of how that impacts you or your role or the business,
Is that fear, I think that's the thing we're focused on. Being left behind, though, I feel.
That's probably, a bit of FOMO, yeah, or that, I want to say peer pressure, but again, it's no longer a generational thing.
No.
There's that expectation.
Yeah.
I know, I've intentionally stayed off some social platforms and I hear everyone talking about that and I'm like, yeah, I'd like to kind of see that stuff, but I just, it's not for me. But you've kind of got to figure out what works for you, your role, your business, and focus on your strengths and how that aligns with this technology, because otherwise you will get burnt out and tired and demotivated and all those things.
Going all over the place. Yeah,
like I said before.
Yeah.
Everyone else's urgency is suddenly my emergency. No, mate. I need to focus on the priorities and how they apply. If that's not your thing, it's not your thing.
How it applies, say, for you, if you're a consultant or an auditor, is it's the same process that you would normally follow. Like we go into a business, we don't need to know the nth detail of what they do and how they do it. We are not there to work there. We need this overarching understanding of that higher level, those higher level systems. And it will be the same with, well, whatever technology they use. We don't need to get into the detail and bog down with it, but we need to be aware because these tools that they use, and as you know, this is highlighted, the growing role of technology, you are going to see it in everything that you do in this job.
Brings me a conversation I had with a student yesterday. As an auditor, your job is not to be analytical. It's not to sit there and interpret and understand the finer, minute detail. It is to get that understanding and that overview and get a feel for the business. I know it's a feel is we're not supposed to use feelings, but if you can understand, okay, this is how that works. Okay, yep. And you would feel comfortable knowing if you did have to work there,
level with their system.
That's exactly right. You have to have the confidence that if you did step into a job in that business, you and your teammates could successfully do what they need to do while meeting those requirements. You don't need to analyze how it's done to the nth degree or why it's done that way. You just need to have the confidence that it's done effectively and efficiently and compliantly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wish I'd had that word yesterday. Thanks, Jack.
Next time. So that's the first one was around standards are changing, stay up to date. The second one was around the growing role of technology. And then the third and final one to, be aware of is that, again, a stronger focus. But this time it's not the technology, it's the people and the culture. And this is something that's been there all along, but sadly, it has been missed a lot, I have to say. But in all of my experience over, the decades that I've been working in this industry, it's the culture and it's the people that make the systems a success. So as auditors, as consultants, as an auditor, it's not just about going in there with a big whacking stick. Okay, there's some personal behaviours, right, Kelly? So, so there's some personal behaviours that auditors need to be aware of and demonstrate and use, because that actually, from that people and culture side of it, then you're going to get the best out of the people that you're working with, so the auditees, and they'll get the best outcome. As a consultant, it's teamwork.
Yeah.
Okay. So
an auditor, it's teamwork, but just of a different.
Exactly. Spot. Exactly. You're not there because you're the almighty superior. You're there to help people. whether you're coming in as an auditor or a consultant. Okay, different responsibilities, but in the end, you want them to succeed. So what process you're following, how you interact with them, comes down to your personal behaviors. And then, of course, so that's you as someone that works in the industry and possibly separately, like a consultant or an auditor. But if you're, say, a quality manager that and you're working within the business and you're responsible for implementing 9001 and you're responsible for maintaining and improving it, it's not the documentation and the systems and the paperwork that's important. It's actually how you treat other people through the process and how safe you make them feel. And then I suppose, because it's change management, right? So
yeah.
So you can't just, again, I'll use it again, you don't just whack them with a big stick. That does not work. Okay, and it's not just because you've got a certificate now. It's really important to understand it's a collaborative process, and what will make the system successful is the human experience, not the documentation.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm internally and externally chuckling at the now that you've got a piece of paper. Because sometimes the piece of paper, there might be someone there with the life skills a little bit more. So there's a conversation we've had recently with some other people. But I can't agree with you enough on these personal behaviors and things. And it's, you want them to succeed, whether you're the auditor or the consultant, but you also want them to be able to be confident, there's that word again, in owning those processes and being able to speak up when those processes aren't effective or efficient or relevant. Because a lot of consultants we've seen do the good old copy, paste, find, replace situation, and those processes aren't relevant to the person that they're sharing those with. So having that understanding of that company's culture before you even start, and getting an idea of, look, is this something that they need to work on, or is it something they actively work on, or is this just something that's there, will help you working through these processes as well before you even start to actually implement them. So, culture is really important across the board. And that was something when you mentioned that to me, that was a change in quality. It was really good to see that as well.
And look, you know, it's a word that they're going to add into leadership commitment. It doesn't mean it's easy and it's a checkbox. Culture, yep,
correct.
Check. If anything's going to take time,
absolutely,
it's culture, okay? Because it depends on your starting point, okay? What your current culture level is like, and then what you want your future culture to look like. So, you know, there's definitely a gap, and that takes time. Like if the culture is a negative impact at the moment, that's taken a long time to get like that. And normally that comes from leadership as well. So, you know, it's going to take a long time to, you know, steer that ship in another direction. And there might be some casualties along the way that people just don't fit into that new culture anymore.
Yeah, a lot of self-reflection in that space as well, I think. And I think that's why it's so important. By putting it into the standard, it kind of forces leadership to look at that and pay more attention, because that has that flow on within your team, then other stakeholders, customers, etc. Your customers get a feel when your culture starts to go a bit blah.
Absolutely.
And then that's your whole business.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, that's a really good point. So, yeah, I suppose it's really quite simple this week. It was just the three things. So I'm not really sort of overwhelming you with, because that's what I was worried about, like on reflection, thinking, oh, now I'm going to get you everyone to look forward. Let's start planning. But there's really only sort of those three areas. And they're sort of already happening around us anyway. It's just being, I think, yeah, as you said, aware of what's going on around us and just keeping an eye on it, really. So yeah. Did you want me to wrap up?
Wrap up, because I've got my key takeaways and things to add on, but I just want to touch on
that. Okay. So just to summarize, as I said, you know, I'm actually quite happy that this wasn't so as overwhelming as I thought it might be. So remember that the ISO landscape is changing and evolving. So we've got 9001, 14001, and 19011 with expected updates next year. 2026 is the big year, and we're nearly there. technology is reshaping how our audits are planned, how we conduct them, our reporting as well. We've got remote and digital tools as part of the integration of how we conduct these. And they are really, you know, essential skills that we need to be on top of. So the future auditor needs more. The future auditor does need this technical knowledge, but I'm one that talks about this all of the time. Technical knowledge is great, but we need the people skills and that cultural awareness, because that's what's going to get us over the line, but the people that we work with most importantly. So really there's three areas to stay on top of. It's knowledge, tools, and people. So the knowledge is the standards, the tools are technology, and people is the culture. Okay, so they all fit in together, knowledge, tools, and people. And really, that's what we're all here for, is keep learning, you know, stay on top of things, stay curious, keep clicking without going down a rabbit hole, and just see what's going on and stay abreast of these changes. But before I hand it back to you, Kelly, as always, anyone can follow the standard. Why don't you be the one to lead the standard?
Thanks, Jackie. That is a wrap, of another episode of Lead the Standard. From my personal takeaway from that, I said, I know at the beginning I talked about, oh my gosh, it's the end of the year and next year's coming and all of that panic. But I too feel a little bit like, actually, nothing's really changing. These are the things that are happening. We're doing all of these things already. They're just being formalized now. And I think that's the key thing. Nothing's changing. It's just adapting or being documented and formalized. So go into the new year, business as usual, and just keep that confidence. Don't be frightened about that change that lies ahead, because you probably are already doing it. And I think that's been my key takeaway from this episode as well. But also, don't put that pressure on yourself to know everything, do everything, etc. So, Jackie, thank you for taking the mental load off everybody and researching and interpreting those changes. I think you should reward yourself with a little break very soon. I think that will be very
some sleep.
Sleep. not too quickly, because we will be back in another fortnight with another episode. we do have one more before Christmas. So, okay. We will bling it all up, jingle our bells for the final one of the year. Again, just to talk around those things and have a bit of a reflection about the year that was 2025, because that's been a lot. So in the meantime, please do make sure that you're following the show. And if you found today's episode helpful, we'd love it if you could share it or left us a quick review or give us your thoughts about what you think that change in 2026 might look like. It does help others to find us and helps us keep the good stuff coming. So until we see you next time, please do take care, stay curious, and keep leading the standard. Bye for now. Oh, we...